Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. People are saying Alex Jones was right. Of course, Alex Jones was right on so many things. When you, I just watched the documentary Alex Zwar today. It's very interesting. It just takes you through the old times of Alex Jones and everything that he's gone through and his past TV shows and radio shows. And you get to see basically that he was fighting against the technocratic agenda from the very beginning. And he hasn't moved an inch on this. He grifted on various things like Trump, like complaining against Obama from a libertarian perspective, and then January 6th, that kind of things, which in a way tarnishes, and the Sandy Hook stuff, in a way tarnishes the rest, because his critique of the technocratic takeover of society is so on point, and there's no one who can deny this today. This is why they're attacking him on side issues, but no one can deny that Alex Jones was totally right by the takeover of intelligence services, technocrats, global climate calculators of all kind, to eventually make life unviable for normal human beings. And that's exactly what has happened with society. So Alex Jones is someone who, unfortunately, probably because of his drive to make a spectacle, and that's certainly one of his advantages, but it has launched him on bad paths, complaining against stuff that perhaps that now he recognizes were not worth complaining about, like the Sandy Hook stuff. He got deep into the conspiracy side in there and ended up making verifiably false statements and stuff that now he's getting sued for. I don't think he should get sued for these. I think they were minor breaches of journalistic ethics, and they were just errors, really. So I don't think you should get sued for $150 million for getting a news wrong. I don't think it's a tolerable society in which journalists would have to walk the line of official discourses. But that's the situation he's in. And I've been warning him for many months that he should prepare bankruptcy, and so that he doesn't have to pay for any of the lawsuits that went after him. And today we learned that he has now declared bankruptcy with his main company. That means he is preparing for, even if he loses these lawsuits, he's not going to have to pay anything, because he's set his life so that he didn't have much income, I guess. It's going to be hard, because I think there are some assets that could be taken from him. Perhaps a house, perhaps a truck, if he has a truck, perhaps the studio itself. But if these assets, if he sets a life where he doesn't need these assets, then he should be okay. And he should be able to perhaps even still have a voice, because you don't need much to have a voice on the internet, or perhaps go for retirement. I don't know, it's hard to imagine Alex Jones going for retirement, but it's going to be an option now. Either retirement or continuing with a smaller show, perhaps with no studio, perhaps less server space, or perhaps he has already planned and given away that server space and those web properties to someone else. That's something that I would do preemptively. If anyone thinks of making an intellectual career of any kind that is controversial in any way, you have to prepare in advance. Do not accumulate property. Get ready for the lawsuits in advance. They will come eventually if you're too big. And so the strategy is let other people get rich out of your work and make sure that they are loyal and good people, which seems to be what Alex Jones is doing. John Drake says he sold his house, he said. Oh, well, that's good news. Then he's already protecting his assets. Perhaps he sold it to a friend, a family member, or perhaps he sold it and then move the money somewhere where it wouldn't be confiscated. That's excellent. I'm happy. I think that Alex Jones shouldn't have to pay 150 million or any amount for being wrong. You can have an opinion. You can have an opinion about a shooting, about a news item. This should be protected opinion because it's totally journalistic, totally in the public eye. And even if you were wrong, there shouldn't be a cost at being wrong, especially when you're not targeting people, you're not arresting people with that information. You just have a theory, and that theory may happen to be wrong, but a theory shouldn't be subject to defamation unless you are targeting it to a given individual. And I haven't seen Alex do anything like that in terms of targeting individuals, in terms of telling people to go harass someone. Never seen that from Alex. So I think it's an injustice, but in the current mob phenomena of leftism and the craze around free speech, it wouldn't be surprising that he's going to be found liable. So thankfully, he's preparing in advance. Hello, everyone. Garden looks great, JF, says Vincent Glade. Look at my harvest today. I never thought I would get such big harvest on just the second year of these black currants trees. My God, they are producing a whole bowl of black currants, and I have some raspberries also that I've taken. Isn't that amazing? I'm so glad that I have the chance to have a bowl that can feed a family for a whole day, or maybe for a couple of days in terms of fruit intake. And I can't wait to see the apple, the pears, the plums coming out because trees are productive. This is what I learned from blackcurrant trees. They are extremely productive, and they don't involve much work. You know, they just take the space and they produce at a given moment of the year, and you can just harvest. Alex Wars, that is the documentary that was filmed about Alex Jones. It's not a super deep documentary, in the sense that it just shows you the kind of stuff you would expect. So we see the classic Alex Jones footage from 9/11 stuff to speaking with Piers Morgan about gun rights. So not a it's not something where we have special access into Alex Jones' mind. I've seen documentary deep that were deeper. I've seen documentaries that would sit down and somehow with the skills of the interviewer, you get to the heart of who Alex Jones is. I haven't been given this feeling by this documentary. I've just seen it as a nice review with nice music of the past of Alex Jones. Hey there says, those are blackberries. No, blackberries is different. Those are black currants. Currant is what they use to do cassis liqueur. You can eat them just like this also. They're not exactly like blackberry. Blackberry are more like raspberry-like, whereas those are more round and they don't have their seeds on the outside forming little bubbles. Alex Jones, the defense attorney of Alex Jones has been presenting the defense in the lawsuit. So today we learned that Alex Jones was declaring bankruptcy, but 2 days ago was the live stream of the defense attorney argument for Alex Jones. It seems to be a relatively, it's not a spectacular case that they are mounting, and it may be that the jury will be moved to find Alex Jones liable. I think the arguments are not super strong on the side of Alex Jones, but that being said, they are valuable. They could win. The argument goes as follows. Alex Jones did a good faith effort to understand the news about Sandy Hook. he was convinced about certain things, and certain experts came on his show and told him stuff, and he ended up believing these things. And so he was not malicious. It was not with malicious intent that he said lies about the government. And I don't know, he's getting accused of saying that the shooting didn't really happen, when I don't think he ever said this. So it's all going to be on the subtlety of, will the jury look at the videos deeply and understand that this is a journalist trying to get to the truth, or will they just be moved by the mob phenomena of, he needs a punishment? Pineapple Platypotamus says, Jeff, where's the trial? The trial that I got is from the Law and Crime Network. So go check them out and you'll get the information. Law and Crime seems to be publishing every testimony and every big part of the trial. Winnie Sucker says, Jeff, my dog bit my face today, giving me many stitches. He's an older, grumpy fuck that I can no longer trust, and I'm faced with executing him. Have any advice? Well, if you want to kill your dog, I would go to a veterinary, and, you know, it's about $50, I think, and they're going to put him to sleep so that he doesn't suffer. It's clear that if we are talking about a dog that has violent behavior, I wouldn't keep them. Just too dangerous, not worth the trouble, and and yeah, but also you should think about how you treated this dog for it to be violent. I'm not saying it's necessarily your fault, you know, I see aggressive dogs are cared for by aggressive people. So ask yourself if you've been fully well caring of that dog. Mama JF is coming. What's up, Mama JF?
Hey, I just wanted to say something about the blackcurrant.
Yes, what about them?
Oh my god, this thing is so strong, okay? Like, you eat it, and there's a reaction in your stomach, like, you feel like, oh my god.
Yes.
It's like taking ayahuasca or something.
There's like a cleansing feeling. It's yes. Like it comes to wash your stomach. It's a rough berry. It's not something that people will immediately like.
Yes, I'm sure it's like detoxing or something. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Wonderful. Yes, but when you are, you know, habituated to taste and you don't want just the sweetest taste of a raspberry, then you can enjoy the somewhat archer taste than the black currant. So yes, the lawyer, not a super performance. This is not a lawyer of the level of the guy in the Rittenhouse trial. The guy in the Rittenhouse trial was straight and solid, and each point were good. This guy made a little intro with a rule, and he wrote on his little board, rule, do not lie to the jury. And I don't know, he was making it in this, he was doing this in the sense of saying, the other side lied to you. And so, and that's one rule, you never lie to the jury. I think it's a little condescending. It was a little bit like taking the jury by the hand, like they're babies or something. And I think the approach of the Rittenhouse lawyer is much better. It's to treat the jury as adults and not explain for like 2 minutes how lying to the jury is wrong. It's more about, you know, proving the lie. And the guy in the Rittenhouse trial was all about proving the lie. He was not taking too much time to explain to the jury, here's why lying is wrong. DK Shadow says, Mama JF knows her shamanic medicine. All right. Oddly Enough News says, old dogs can be blind or deaf, probably scared, surprised. Worst bite I ever got was a 20-year-old Scotty. Almost lost my nose, man, but it was my fault. I surprised him on his blind side. Could be an honest mistake. Yes, could be. Absolutely. All right, if you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey regular chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to support the show. And alternatively, we also offer Entropy for super chats. The link to Entropy is in the description below. So that is the big news today. Alex Jones' company files for bankruptcy amid Texas trial to award damages to Sandy Hook families. And look at who's writing this. Oliver Darcy. This is the guy that had been caught by Alex Jones in the hall. And Alex Jones was like, this guy is a rat. He's the worst kind of people. What are you doing here? And he's been after Alex Jones and enjoying the destruction of Alex Jones at all turns, asking for his banning of everywhere, and sometimes celebrating when it was happening. What a ridiculous guy. Your entire career is to take down someone else's IDs from the public space. Congratulations. It's like you are just a predator. You are a journalistic predator sent by a business that loses audience to Alex Jones so that it's harder for them to find the content they like from Alex Jones. What a pathetic human being, Oliver Darcy. Right-wing conspiracy theorist Alex Jones' primary company filed for bankruptcy protection on Friday, an unexpected move that comes as a trial is underway in Texas to determine how much in damages he will have to pay the families of two Sandy Hook victims who sued and won a default judgment against him. So, there is a trial in Texas for damages. So they are at the stage of finding it. They have already won a default judgment because he didn't collaborate with the with some request of the judge, I believe, and so they are now at the level of determining damages. Jones' decision to seek bankruptcy protection for his company Free Speech Systems, which operates the right-wing conspiratorial outlet InfoWars, also comes after he was found legally responsible in a separate defamation case in Connecticut. In that Connecticut case, a different group of families similarly sued Jones over false claims he made about the 2012 Sandy Hook shooting. Three smaller companies tied to Jones declared bankruptcy earlier this year, briefly pausing the cases in both Texas and Connecticut. But the families suing Jones dropped the three smaller companies from their lawsuits so that the cases could move forward against Jones and Free Speech Systems. Shortly after, the three companies exited bankruptcy protection. In a bizarre legal twist, Jones also filed a complaint Thursday against his own company in Connecticut, a move that could further delay the proceedings in the Connecticut trial. So here we see that he's playing whack-a-mole. There were three companies that he had declared bankruptcy with. Probably once you are under a proceeding of bankruptcy, all lawsuits are paused because all claims must be directed to the bankruptcy court for repossession of whatever assets are left. And so, amazingly, Alex Jones bankrupted these three companies, and now they moved. They said, all right, we're suing only this guy now. And now Alex Jones is bankrupting this company, and he's debankrupting the three other companies. So it's a game of legal whack-a-mole, and it's exactly what he has to do if he wants to avoid having to pay these damages. So a fair strategy here by Alex Jones, I think. It depends. I mean, you could have an aggressive judge that eventually goes after every traces of assets and say, oh, you gave this to your friend, we're going to take it from your friend. So you need to do all of this very cleanly and hopefully in advance of even the damages being declared. But Alex Jones seems to be setting it up the right way. The attorney representing Jones in the Texas defamation case, Federico Endino Reynal, made the disclosure about the bankruptcy filing at the end of the court proceedings on Friday. Reynal said that the bankruptcy filing should not impact the trial underway. The judge overseeing the trial said proceedings in the case will continue on Monday. It's unclear, however, how the move will impact matters after the jury decides on damages. It might very well result in the dissolution of InfoWars, which would be a victory that I guess those people running this lawsuit would claim to themselves. But I think Alex Jones could easily be reborn on a smaller platform and rebuild something new from scratch. But we'll see what happens with all this. Zelensky, very interesting news by Zelensky. This is so important. With all that we've discussed with Coach Red Pill in Ukraine, Igor Kolomoisky, you remember, he's the Ukrainian oligarch who was highly criticized by Coach Red Pill. Now we learn that Zelensky reportedly strips three Jewish oligarchs of citizenship. The official reason for the move appears to be that the three, among the wealthiest Jews in Ukraine, hold foreign citizenship, including in Israel. Three powerful and prominent Jews in Ukraine, and this includes, very importantly, Igor Kolomoisky, and also Enadi Korban and Vadim Rabinovich. Now, this is interesting because Igor Kolomoisky was presented by Coach Red Pill as being the kind of corrupt oligarch below, underlying the rise of Zelensky. If you trust the Coach Red Pill telling of the story, Zelensky is a puppet of Igor Kolomoisky. So why would a puppet of Igor Kolomoisky remove Ukrainian citizenship from Igor Kolomoisky? And I'm working on hypotheses in my head. Is it possible, on the one hand, is it possible that Igor Kolomoisky did not care about his Ukrainian citizenship? And this is a move done only for the looks. And in the back scene, it's all good. Igor Kolomoisky wasn't planning to go back to Ukraine. I believe he's been living in Sweden or something like this. And so he didn't care about getting his citizenship revoked. That's one possibility. NDBL says so that he doesn't get drafted. Ah, that is very interesting. That is another possibility. Perhaps he wants to travel to Ukraine, but he wants to be considered a tourist. And if he doesn't have the citizenship, he doesn't fall under the recruitment obligations of the Ukrainian army. Absolutely interesting. I hadn't thought about this one, NDBL. And a third hypothesis, and that would be a scary one, is that this is a reversal of the mafia of Ukraine, basically. Zelensky is using the fact that he's at the moment where he has massive flows of money coming from other networks, like the US Congress and US intelligence. He doesn't want to have other powerful people controlling Ukraine. And so he's making a move that will abolish his competition, abolish the people who potentially could drive Ukraine in another direction than his full leadership. And he just gets them out of Ukraine and makes it impossible for them to intervene in the Ukrainian situation. In other words, he's kind of like in The Godfather, when a new mafia boss shows up and kills the old ones. Zelensky could be interested with that move at just taking over Ukraine in a way that his handlers had not been foreseeing yet. But certainly this hides a very powerful and very important move here. I don't know exactly which of these three hypotheses is the right one, but I know that this is a major thing happening. Corvin Callsigns says, We'll see if Zelensky gets off in the next few months. If so, he probably stepped on the toes of too many big players. That is a possibility. That maybe it will be seen as a revolt, and perhaps his handlers have more power inside Ukraine than he thinks, and perhaps they would revolt against this decision. We'll see. Biden, one moment. Biden tests positive for rebound COVID, goes back into isolation, one day after hanging around a bunch of CEOs without a mask. Fully vaccinated President Joe Biden has once again tested positive for COVID in a so-called rebound case after being treated with Paxlovid, his physician said in a Saturday letter. This whole thing that Paxlovid is associated with a high resurgence of COVID, but it's kind of delaying the disease. People get rebound COVID after Paxlovid, which tells me this isn't really a medication for COVID. Who knows what it does, but somehow it doesn't make your body totally get rid of COVID. It creates a pause in which you may be feeling well. That's probably what it does. That's why there are so many cases of rebound COVID. But at this point, who cares? This is COVID. This is like a respiratory virus that doesn't seem like a big danger to society any more than previous respiratory viruses. People were sharing this Will Smith apology to Chris Rock, and they were like, Jeff, comment on this. Well, it's kind of it's exaggerated and hyper emotional, and you can get to see who Will Smith truly is. He's a low IQ, rough kind of guy. He's less intelligent than the average person who would get to his state of fame. You see what I mean? He's less intelligent than Matt Damon. And it shows. It shows because he's talking of all of this like a brute who's been caught in his brute behavior, but then who kneels to the kind of feminine overreaction to it also and starts being apologetic and I have lots of things to work on, you know. So I mean, we can watch a part of it, but and it all starts with oh, this is tough. Oh. See these things? That's the sign of a male who has abdicated to the female structure of the world. It's the sign of a male kneeling to the matriarchy. I've been doing a lot of thinking and personal work. This is what the leftists want you to say when you're accused of misogyny or when you're accused of anti-homosexuality or whatever. I've been doing a lot of work to understand what is wrong with me. And it's not to say that I advocate for Will Smith punching Chris Rock, see? But in the morality of the male system, there are bad punches that are regrettable, but we don't overdo it. We don't overdo the punishment. Once two guys have been fighting, we say, all right, this was a bad thing, guys. Let's stop it. And that's it. It's over. There's no, I've been doing months of psychotherapy to understand the source of my anger. You asked a lot of fair questions that I wanted to take the time to answer. And look at this. This motherfucker has recorded a sigh in studio. you've recorded a dishonest side. It's like your producer was behind you. You had this super microphone. You had everything all set up. You have your lightning. And then you're like, all right, we need a sigh from you, Will. Yeah, that should do it. That will give us the emotional tone we're looking for.
Why didn't you apologize to Chris in your acceptance speech?
What the fuck is this pronunciation? Holy shit, he's reading it like an elementary school teacher trying to emphasize on each syllable, trying to teach the English language to a child. What the fuck is this reading? And on top of it, the whole video starts like this, and it's like someone sent a super chat. But bro, this is not a super chat setting. It's like you took this question like you were 1 hour into your show, and some random person asked, why didn't you apologize to Chris in your acceptance speech? It's not happening, bro. You're not in a 1 hour show where you've been talking to people and are interacting with the questions of the audience in a natural way. You've set this filming up with a producer, with lightning, with lighting, with the question prepared in advance. This is not a super chat.
I was fogged out by that point.
See, the idea of being fogged out, the idea of losing control, the absolute sign of a weak man. Like, I've been going through shit in my life. At no point, not a single second in my life, was I not in control of my actions. There is no such thing as losing control or fogging out. It's like, bro, you have fogged out while you were punching Chris Rock? You don't have a brain at that moment?
It's all fuzzy. I've reached out to Chris, and the message that came back is that he's not ready to talk, and when he is, he will reach out. So I will say to you, Chris, I apologize to you. My behavior was.
Okay, and so the whole thing is kneeling and apologizing. All right, so be it. I have no more comments. It's just Will Smith is, you can see, you know, how bad his movies were, like Wild Wild West. There was something wrong with this guy from the beginning. Every movie he would participate in, Men in Black, consider Men in Black. Not a very interesting movie, and the whole movie is based around the attitude of Will Smith and his ability to make faces and to look nice in a suit, I guess. This guy has never been smart, and it shows in his acting, and it shows in his creative work, and now it's just stunning to see him being, like, spouting stuff that is obviously being demanded of him. It's like, this is a man in kneeling. It's very dishonorable, very disgusting to just see it happen. Not that he was right to punch Chris Rock, but this is even worse. John Drake says, sounds like every murderer explaining what happened, it'd be foggy remembrances. Yes, when they say it's foggy, it's like, okay, it was not foggy. You were in control of your brain, and you just don't want to have to explain what you did. So you are saying it's foggy because really you've abolished this part of your life so that you wouldn't ever have to explain your rationale. You know, the same thing he's done to Chris Rock could have been hilarious, where he doesn't punch him for real. He could have just kicked his ass, like kicked his ass in a symbolic manner. That would have sent all of the message he could send, and there wouldn't be the whole dark aspect of it, where, okay, a crime of assault has just happened in front of national TV. Be Yourself says, I still see him as the goofy doofus from Fresh Prince who is trying to act mature and is in over his head. Yeah, I've been watching some of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air back in the days. I don't remember what I think of it because I don't remember at all any of it and what was the theme of it. I'm pretty sure it sucked. Pretty sure it sucked. UN World Economic Forum, behind the global war on farmers, according to experts, the escalating regulatory attack on agriculture producers from Holland and the United States to Sri Lanka and beyond is closely tied to the United Nations Agenda 2030, Sustainable Development Goals, and the UN's partners at the World Economic Forum, numerous experts told the Epoch Times. Indeed, several of the UN's 17 Sustainable Development Goals are directly implicated in policies that are squeezing farmers, ranchers, and food supplies around the world. Let me just play with my volume here a little bit. How is that? That should be good. All right. Yeah. Okay, that should be a little stronger because I see the volume level was always a little too low. Let me know if that works. Surya Loka says, modern day debate on flat hurter versus round hurt early today was freaking hilarious. Okay, this can be hilarious, the flat earth. I haven't watched it, but it's always a subject in which you start wondering if anything you believe in is real. Trump, Brittany Griner, prisoner swap for the Merchant of Death doesn't seem like a very good trade. The Russian arms dealer who would be swapped for American WNBA star Brittany Griner is known as the Merchant of Death. As I pointed out, you know, it's I thought I was about to sneeze, but I didn't sneeze. As I pointed out on this show, it's ridiculous that we are trading a politically important person for a basketball player. But that is the state of America. That is what happens when you elevate the basketball player above all else. It's like they become more important than someone who... I don't have a strong opinion on the Merchant of Death. I don't even know to which extent what he's accused of is real. But, you know, unquestionably, he's a man of political and geopolitical importance. And we have a woman basketball player... in exchange, I think that's a very bad trade. MSNBC's Tiffany Cross, and by the way, yesterday I forgot to talk about this news, but Vladimir Putin has responded to the offer, and he wants a guy, I believe, from Germany, who was part of the intelligence services of Russia. And so he would like Germany to add, if I remember correctly, because I don't have the news item in front of me, he would like somehow the U.S. coordinating with Germany to get both the Merchant of Death and this guy from the Russian intelligence. MSNBC's Tiffany Cross slams ABC for reportedly hiring Alyssa Farah Griffin to co-host The View. So it seems that we will have a Trump person on The View, you know, a Trump woman. This woman was pissed about it, but this woman, apparently, Alyssa Farah Griffin, was a guest on The View and would be returning for being the kind of Republican pro-Trump woman on The View. I would love it to happen. I don't know to what extent we can trust her to truly represent the right. Probably not at all, since she's a woman. But still, if she can bring in some talking points that are somewhat sympathetic to Donald Trump. She is the former White House Strategic Communications Director and Donald Trump staffer, reportedly stepping into a new role on The View, making her daytime talk show 23rd co-host in 25 years. So they've been rotating on the Republican, because the poor Republican woman who's stuck with these three, that must suck. And eventually they get hated by the three others. They get interrupted. Basically, the Republican woman on this show is there to get dunked on. And if she doesn't take it, it eventually escalates into a cat fight. Well, it's still better than having zero Republican on there, so let it happen. Corvin Callsign says, that's pretty funny. Wonder how long she will last. Yes, it seems that it's basically the average time is a year. The average Republican female on The View lasts a year. LA's new $588 million bridge keeps closing as people treat it like a GTA amusement park. Lawlessness. Basically, they opened this bridge. It cost $588 million, and it's just becoming a place for LA parties to happen. So they're trying to make these tire burning things, and so it becomes extremely dangerous for everyone. There's a guy on the car, extremely dangerous practice. If he falls, he could die. So yes, the bridge is unusable because of all this. Mama JF is coming in the studio, but that was to just take some stuff. All right. China launches live fire drills of Taiwan with US carrier group nearby as Pelosi's plane en route to Asia. Look at this, a military exercise by the Chinese. Warplanes of the U.S. Navy are flying near Taiwan. Very harsh statements from China continue to come before U.S. House of Representatives Speaker Pelosi's visit to Taiwan. Tension in the region has risen to its highest level. Why are we doing this exactly? What is the rationale for this? We're spending millions and hundreds of millions of dollars on just making these demonstrations and just checking in case Pelosi wants to go to Taiwan. Are we trying to trigger a war with China? The USS Reagan left a port call in Singapore and is now patrolling waters near China, with Beijing flexing its own military muscle by launching fresh naval exercises near the self-ruled island, and more worrisomely issuing threats that the PLA military is on standby to respond with forceful measures if needed. Turkey's EHA media outlet on Saturday is circulating unverified video purporting to show large U.S. warplane formation flyovers of the South China Sea with destroyers below. What the fuck? Mama JF says, wow, they are like the migrating birds. Yes, I don't know if they do so, if they do these formations for a particular aerodynamic effect, or perhaps it's just a nice military position to be in. I would have to rewatch Top Gun. I think they explain it in Top Gun. John Drake says, and she's going there to line her own pockets. That's the funny thing. Yeah, basically, this is state-funded personal enrichment. And at the cost of geopolitical stability and possibility of major wars stemming from all this. Food banks across America report record demand and record shortages. Food pantries and food banks are a key economic indicator for tracking poverty levels and financial instability in the U.S., and in the past few months, they have been ringing alarm bells. Stagflationary pressures have all but wiped out the savings of the average American and driven up credit card debt to historic highs. Only in the past month have credit spending and debt levels begun to slide, but this is more a sign that consumers are tapped out rather than a sign of return to normalcy. High prices are slowly but surely overwhelming lower wage workers. In particular, the average living wage across most US states is around $16 an hour. Over 30% of Americans make less than $15 an hour. Free food distribution. Yes, it's happening. And on my side, I'm so thankful that many years ago, I realized that my job meant that I cannot guarantee that I have even a bank account tomorrow morning, let alone a salary. And so because of this, I've taken the means to become a producer of fruits and vegetables. And this is the bowl I collected this morning for those who have missed it. When I started the show, blackcurrants, raspberries, we're starting massive harvest, and there's so much more to collect, so much vegetables that I'm leaving in the greenhouse. The raised bed is filled with lettuce and herbs of all kind. We have food for a while. FOIA request reveals school district hid library database that has pornographic material. Richland School District 2 in South Carolina has been exposed for removing guest access to the school district's online library catalog because of the current political climate and scrutiny. So basically, you have this school that wanted to hide the fact that they have pornographic material, and they were doing it to basically hide it from right-wingers. That's what they mean by the political climate. They just don't want parents to find out what is being taught to their kids. Thankfully, now an FOIA request has revealed that there was a scheme to hide it from the parents. So if you have to hide it that much, why don't you get these books out? Mark says, my voice sounds compressed. Yeah, you're right. Here, let's try. Because I increase the sound without. Hello. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Isn't that better? I think it's better. I think it's less compressed. You let me know. you know, I'm working with this new compressor, so of course it's harder for me to make a live change, especially because I can't monitor myself for too long. I hear feedback. It's popping now. Hello. Yeah. I don't think it's popping. Not that I hear in a few seconds, but maybe I can put a limiter also. All right, you guys let me know if that's good now. All right, what else do we have in the news? Court rejects Google's attempt to dismiss Rumble's antitrust lawsuit, ensuring vast discovery. I think it's amazing this should happen. I hope that Rumble has the strength to keep that lawsuit going. A federal district court in California on Friday denied Google's motion to dismiss a lawsuit alleging that the Silicon Valley giant is violating federal antitrust laws by preventing fair competition against its YouTube video platform. The lawsuit against the search giant, which has owned YouTube since its 2006 purchase for $1.65 billion, was brought in early 2021 by Rumble, the free speech competitor to YouTube. Its central claim is that Google's abuse of its monopolistic stranglehold on search engines to destroy all competitors to its various other platforms is illegal under the Sherman Antitrust Act of 1890, which makes it unlawful to monopolize or attempt to monopolize any part of the trade or commerce along the several states. I hope they win, because this is so important. The way Google punishes Gab, you know, filters out entire platforms. Odyssey is not featured very well on Google, I think, especially if it's a controversial show. This has to end, because it's really Google, the search engine, shouldn't be in a position to favor YouTube. And so when people look for videos, it should be equal standing, whether they are being sent to YouTube or Odyssey or Rumble. And it's certainly not the case right now, so this has to change. And Rumble's action here could have impacts on other aspects of the monopolistic practices of Google, including how they censor things like Gab. Nuclear war. Threat is higher than in the Cold War, according to the UK National Security Advisor. British National Security Advisor Stephen Lovegrove warned late this week that there is a greater risk of nuclear war today than there was during the Cold War due to a lack of communication channels. The Cold War's two monolithic blocs of the USSR and NATO, though not without alarming bumps, were able to reach a shared understanding of doctrine that is today absent. Well, I say this is all the fault of the US and how they have been allowing things to themselves that they have not allowed to Russia. It's as simple as this. If the US was treating Russia like it treats itself, like we had Hillary Clinton just say, "We came, we saw, he died." And it's like, this is worse than anything I've seen from Putin statements around Ukraine or whatever for the entire war. Like, we have much more condescension for the rest of the world in America than Putin has ever been displaying. Yet Putin is constantly being presented as this evil dictator, and oh my god, this war is evil. If the US was to respect Russia as legitimately intervening around itself or its sphere of influence, the same way America does in the Middle East, using the blood of patriots who serve in the army, then perhaps there would be a common understanding. But there's no place for a common understanding where America stands on its high horse, its moral high horse, and considers anything that Putin does to be bad. All right, let me just fix something here with the screen. All right. China announces live fire naval exercises ahead of possible Pelosi-Taiwan visit. That's the Fox News coverage of this story. China's show of strength coincides with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's possible visit to Taiwan. Tensions are high in the region with a U.S. strike group, blah, blah, blah. So basically, exactly what we've seen in the Zero Hedge article, the Chinese exercises were to take place over a 13-hour period, according to state media. All right, and as a last news item for tonight, Gazprom suspends gas supplies to Latvia as Austria warns EU-Russian energy ban impossible. Today, Gazprom suspended its gas supplies to Latvia due to violations of the conditions of purchase, Russian energy giant Gazprom has announced Saturday in a statement posted to Telegram. This after, on Wednesday, gas deliveries to Europe were cut to about 20% of capacity. The EU has continued charging Moscow with using energy as a weapon and as blackmail. Technical pumping capacities are down, more restricted. Why? Because the process of maintaining technical devices is made extremely difficult by the sanctions adopted by Europe. So Europe will not be the only one being starved from energy. Russia as a large, well, is Latvia part of Europe? Probably. But when I thought that Putin was depriving Europe of energy, I thought of Germany. I thought of, you know, the Western states. But Latvia now is much closer to Russia and they will be deprived too. So that's interesting. It shows that Putin has balls and wants to leverage the power that he has over these countries so to probably restore the situation, or at least not feed his new enemies, basically. Feed his new enemies with cheap energy. Hello, Mama JF. What's up?
Hey, I had a question.
Yes?
Talking about Russia, okay? Because we are watching Stranger Things again, and I was like, is it possible they make a little bit of anti-Russian propaganda?
Yes.
A little bit.
Yes. Stranger Things, because we've been watching it through. I think we have one episode left to watch, so we've basically seen the four seasons of Stranger Things. You have to understand that the depiction of Russia in there, in Stranger Things, is mostly a kind of, they want to present the nostalgia of the Cold War. Now, presenting the nostalgia of the Cold War can be done in a kind of sarcastic manner, and let's laugh about it. But they are doing it also during the Ukraine war. And so they're kind of reawakening a Russia is the enemy pattern in cinema that was present before. And they're doing so probably for current political goals. Although it's done in a comedic manner, you can't say that it won't influence the American public overall.
Yeah, it's like funny, but also it go in your subconscious.
Yes, exactly. Maybe I think that's what it does.
Maybe some people are affected by this, or they even say like a joke, oh, the Russian, but it's like all subconscious stuff.
Yes, because in the end, the Russians are to be combated, and they are evil, and they imprison people. All right, everyone, I'm going to sleep. Much love. See you all tomorrow.